And can you hear me okay?
Okay. There. Okay, that's good. Every week we have announcements, and sometimes there's mistakes in the announcements. It's not only true about First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church, it's true about other churches too. And so I'd just like to share with you some actual announcements that were in church bulletins. The first one is, the senior choir invites any members of the congregation who enjoy sinning to join the choir. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double door at the side entrance. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Jackson to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. The Reverend Adam spoke briefly, much to the delight of his audience. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when A.B. Doe supplied our pulpit. The preacher will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing Bring Forth with Joy, Break Forth with Joy. And don't let worry kill you, let the church help. Some churches believe in euthanasia, I guess. And then finally, remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. So we can laugh at these typing mistakes, and we hope that the people who originally read these announcements could laugh at them too, and that the secretary didn't get too much flack. But there are some mistakes that happen in churches that nobody laughs about. When people truly are sick of our church and our community, it is not a laughing matter. For example, it's not funny when the teaching in the church is irrelevant or unbiblical. It's not funny when worship is poor quality or mere entertainment. It's not funny when the church loses a heart for the lost. It's not funny when Christians aren't using their God-given spiritual gifts for building the kingdom of God. It's not funny when people are hurting but nobody cares. And it's not funny if any of these problems happen or other problems that we haven't brought up. But unfortunately, every church has problems. In fact, even First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church has problems. So the question isn't whether our church is going to have problems. The question is, what are we going to do when we do have problems? What are the proper steps to take to deal with problems? If we handle the problems wrongly, Satan will use a problem to break up the church or to neutralize it. But if we handle these problems correctly, God will actually use the problem to make our church better and to glorify Him. So it's very important for us to learn how we should deal with problems when problems arise in our church. And the passage that we're going to look at today reveals to us that when a problem arises in the church, there are two ways to deal with that problem. We can either become part of the problem or we can become part of the solution. And today, as you think about some of the problems that you might have noticed in this church or in the church that you grew up in, ask yourself, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? And promise yourself that you will become part of the solution. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 to discover how we can be part of the solution to the problems rather than becoming part of the problem itself. The church had already faced its share of problems, but most of these problems came from outside of the church. For example, they had already been mocked and imprisoned for their beliefs by the non-Christians. But those problems didn't seem to really faze the Christians. In fact, the more the non-Christians persecuted them, the more the church grew. And so now Satan decided he was going to change his tactic. Instead of attacking the church from without, he would attack the church from within. So let's check out the problem in Acts chapter 6, and verse 1. Let's read this verse together. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, the early church was facing an administration problem that was becoming a people problem. In the first century, there was no such thing as the Equal Employment Act. It was extremely difficult for women to find decent paying jobs, and usually women relied on their husbands for economic welfare. And they usually, that usually worked until the husband died, and then the widow often had to face the choice of either poverty or prostitution. That's why the church stepped in to give these women a third, better alternative. Basically, people in the church would donate food, money, clothing, and the church leaders would distribute these bare necessities to the widows. And it sounds good in theory, but it was breaking down in reality. Unfortunately, the food was not being distributed equally and fairly among all the widows. Apparently, the Hebrew-speaking women were getting more food than the Greek-speaking widows, and the Greek-speaking congregation understandably felt like they were being treated unfairly. So a problem had arisen in the church. The question now was whether the Greek-speaking congregation was going to become part of the problem or become part of the solution to that problem. And unfortunately, they decided to become part of the problem. Now, what did they do to become part of the problem? Well, verses 1 and 2, we can find two different things that they did. The first thing that they did to become part of the problem is found in verse 1, where it says they complained. And you may say, well, what's the problem with complaining? If my home church was responsible for the economic welfare of the widows in our church, and the church was feeding the Cantonese-speaking widows, but not my mother, I'd complain too. Well, the problem is with the way they complained. So the Greek word translated complain means a secret displeasure not openly avowed. In other words, instead of openly confronting or talking with the leaders about the problem, they whispered among themselves about the problem. They'd gather in their little huddles and say things like, have you ever noticed that the Hebraic widows get more food than our widows? The other person would say, yeah, it's so obvious. I wonder why the apostles aren't doing something about it. I don't know. I'm sure they mean well, but maybe they're just not very competent. You think so? I don't know. Have you ever noticed how all the apostles come from the Hebrew-speaking congregation? To tell you the truth, I don't think they care about us. They think that they are better than us. They're bigots. And then the apostles would walk by and they would say, oh, hi, Simon Peter. Great sermon today. Why is complaining part of the problem instead of part of the solution? Why does complaining make the problem actually worse instead of better? Well, there's three reasons. The first is that it hurts God. It's a direct act of disobedience against him. For as Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Secondly, complaining hurts the leaders. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, the writer of Hebrews writes, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. You see, complaining makes leading a burden. And most church leaders are not bad guys. Most of them work really hard and are doing the best under the circumstances with their limited abilities and their times. So complaining makes life miserable for good people. But thirdly, complaining hurts you. As the last part of verse 13 says, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. And then he goes on to say, for that would be of no benefit to you. So if you complain against the leader and the leader starts to get really discouraged, it's very likely that the leader is not going to be all that excited about doing his job, and he might actually do the job worse. And so it's not going to help out anywhere. So the second way that the Greek congregation became part of the problem is implied in verse 2. And so let's read verse 2 together. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." So reading between the lines, it seems like the Greek-speaking Jews were expecting the apostles to wait on the tables. So the second way to become part of the church problem is to expect the overworked to work harder. Now, I'm sure that the apostles didn't really mind waiting on tables. For example, when Jesus was around, they fed a congregation of 5,000 men. So they were willing to serve in that way. But the apostles knew that it would be unwise stewardship of their spiritual gifts if they spent their time waiting on tables. They knew that God had entrusted them with the responsibility to study the Word of God and to pray. And if they substituted what was good for what was best, they would be violating God's will. Well, church experts say that 20% of the church attendees are doing 80% of the church work. And when a new project comes up, the 20% take up more responsibility instead of the 80%. And the result is that the 20% end up spreading themselves too thin, and they end up neglecting their family's needs, and they end up getting burned out. On the other hand, when the 80% don't do their part, they end up wasting the potential that God has given them, and they miss out on the joy of service. So are you part of the 80% who are doing only 20% of the work in this church? Are you upset about a problem that could be in the church? Do you wish that the church had better worship or better youth ministry or caring ministry or teaching ministry? Do you expect the leaders to take care of the problem for you? My encouragement is to, instead of being part of the problem, be part of the solution. Stop expecting the overworked to work harder. So the Greek-speaking congregation became part of the first century church problem by complaining, by expecting the overworked to work harder. But there are other ways that church people become part of the church problem instead of part of the church solution. And a third way that someone become part of the church problem is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father." A third way to become part of the church problem is to rebuke a church leader harshly. Now, we could defend ourselves by saying, well, at least what I was saying was true. But Paul says it's not only important what you say, but how you say it. Make sure that when you confront a leader, you don't have an arrogant attitude or anything less than genuine love for that person. If you're looking forward to putting that person in his place, you may need to check out your attitude and take the log out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of his. If you confront a leader in the wrong way, you may actually make the problem worse because the leader probably won't be as receptive to your advice. Instead, he may reject a good gift because it's wrapped up in bad packaging. Now, some people would never gripe about a church problem, expect the overworked to work harder or confront somebody harshly. Instead, they'll vote with their feet. In other words, if they don't like the way things are going in the church, they're going to stop going to that church. The worst case scenario is that they stop going to church altogether. There are a lot of people who consider themselves Christians who have stopped going to church. They still believe in God, they still like Jesus, but they don't like the church because they got turned off somewhere along the way. And maybe they got turned off with an overly authoritative preacher, or maybe they were just bored with the preaching, or maybe they felt like everybody in the church was just a bunch of snobs. And so they drop out. They think that they are neither part of the problem or part of the solution because they are neither positive or negative. They're not giving positive or negative input about the problem. But actually, they are part of the problem. Because the problem is that nobody's doing anything about the problem. Now they are also not doing anything about the problem. I know I might be preaching to the proverbial choir by telling you that you shouldn't drop out of church. The people that need to hear that message probably are not here. But if you're thinking about dropping out of church because you don't feel like you like the way things are going, or if you come infrequently because you don't feel like you get much out of church, then you're part of the problem. God's will is for every Christian to be actively involved in a church where they can worship God, where they can care for others, be fed spiritually, and just learn to love imperfect people. So if you're not involved in a local church, you are out of God's will. Well, some people don't drop out of church. Instead, they become church hoppers. They hop from church to church, hoping to find that one church will meet all of their expectations. Believe me, there is no perfect church out there. And if there is one, please don't go to it because you are going to make it imperfect. Now, too many Christians are basically church consumers. They go to the church with the attitude of what can I get out of it rather than what can I put into it. And so paradoxically, with that kind of attitude, they never get anything out of church. But those who participate with an attitude of what can I put into it actually end up getting the most out of the church. As Jesus once said, it is better to give than to receive. Now, some of us would never dream about leaving the church, and we would never dream about addressing any of the other problems that we see in the church in a negative way. And so we basically suffer in silence. And so in our activity, we actually become part of the problem because the problems are never addressed. So are you guilty of becoming part of the problem instead of part of the solution? Are you guilty of complaining behind the leader's back? Are you guilty of expecting the overworked to work harder? Are you guilty of rebuking leaders harshly? Are you guilty of voting with your feet? Are you guilty of suffering in silence? If you are, you should do three things. First, you should confess your sins to God. Secondly, you should ask the leaders for forgiveness. And thirdly, you should begin to take the steps to become part of the solution rather than part of the problem. But what should we do to become part of the solution to the problems that we see in church? We can learn from following the examples of the apostles found in verses 2-6. The first step that we should take is found in verse 2. Let's read that together again. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." The first step that the apostles took in addressing the problem was meeting with the people who had the problems. Now, the Greek-speaking congregation should have been the people who took the initiative in meeting with the apostles instead of complaining among themselves and against the Hebrew-speaking congregation. They should have arranged to meet with the apostles. And I'm sure that the apostles were probably tempted to sweep the problem under the rug. They were probably tempted to think, man, if those guys are just gossiping about me, let them take care of their own problems. Or maybe they were tempted to think, like, let's just try to ignore the problem and the problem will take care of itself. But problems rarely take care of themselves. Instead, when problems aren't taken care of, they usually get worse. So the apostles did the right thing. They arranged a meeting, even though it was their responsibility to take the initiative. The action reveals an important principle. And this is the principle. Even when other people handle problems the wrong way, it doesn't give you an excuse to respond in the wrong way. That's an important message for us leaders to heed. Even when people are gossiping about you or expecting you to work too hard or confronting you harshly, it's important for you to respond in a way in which you become part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. So the first step in becoming part of the solution is to meet with the leaders to talk about the problem. So if you think that your discipleship group needs to become more biblically focused, talk to your shepherd discipler. If you think that your youth fellowship needs to become more friendly, talk to the leaders of the youth ministry. And if you like to see a change in our English worship service, then talk to me. Make sure that you are talking to your leaders with gentleness and respect, but don't avoid talking to them just because it may seem awkward. So the second thing that the apostles did in order to address the problem can be found in verse 3. So let's read verse 3 together. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 people among you who are bound to be faultless swear. So the second step that we should take to become part of the solution is that we should help the leaders to choose a qualified task force to take care of the problem. Facing technical difficulties with my, I think my battery might be gone. Oh, okay. Okay. There we go. Now, it must have been tempting for the apostles to say, okay, we'll take care of the problem. But they knew that if they spent their time serving tables, that they would lose their effectiveness in teaching the Word of God. So some of us need to learn to say no to new jobs, whether it's saying no to a leader who's trying to recruit us or a follower who's pointing out the problem. We need to say no. It would not be right for me to neglect the ministry that God has called me to in order to serve in an area which God has not called me to serve. But we should go on to say, I'll help you to find people who are qualified to minister in that way. So the apostles worked with the Greek-speaking congregation to choose a task force to deal with the problem of the distribution of the food to the widows. What were the qualifications that they were looking for? There were basically 5 of them, and let's take a look at them. First was that they needed to have a good reputation. In other words, they had to have already served well and gained the reputation of being a good and faithful servant. Secondly, they needed to be full of the Spirit. They had to be people who had surrendered their lives to the control of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, they needed to be full of wisdom. In other words, they needed to be people who had the administrative know-how to take care of the task of serving the widows the food that they needed. And fourthly, they needed to be available. They needed to be people who had the time to take care of this difficult task. And fifthly, they needed to have the heart. And it's interesting that all the men that they chose actually had Greek names rather than Hebrew names. That was an indication that these men were concerned with the Greek-speaking widows, that they would be treated fairly, because probably these widows were their mothers and grandmothers. So when choosing a task force to take care of a problem, we should choose people with a good reputation who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who know what they are doing, who are available and who have the heart to become part of the solution. You might think, I don't know a whole lot of people who have those qualifications. Then develop those qualifications in your own life and then volunteer to participate in that task force. Now, the third step of the apostles took in addressing the problems can be found in verse 6. Let's read that together. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed. So the third thing that to do to become part of the solution is to pray for the task force. Though the disciples didn't have time to be on the task force, they did have time to pray for those who were on the task force. So let me ask you an obvious question. Is it more effective to complain about problems in the church or to pray about problems in the church? Is it more effective to complain about the leaders or to pray for them? The obvious answer is to pray, because on one hand, complaining is counterproductive, but prayer actually frees the hand of God to do things that are beyond our ability. The fourth step the apostles took in addressing the problem can be found in verse 6, where it says, they presented these men to the apostles who laid their hands on them. The fourth task of the apostles did to become part of the solution was that they laid their hands on the task force. The laying on of hands was a ceremony in which the apostles publicly demonstrated that they were affirming these men for their tasks. So that's the fourth way that we can become part of the solution to a problem at the church. We can affirm the task force. We need to show them that we support them and we will be there to help them along. So some people might think, if that's what it takes to become part of the solution, then I'm not interested. That requires too much risk and too much effort. Why should I meet with the leaders to talk to them about the problem? Why should I help them choose a qualified task force? Why should I pray and affirm the task force? Well, obviously, the main reason you should do that is out of love and obedience to God. But another reason is because of what usually happens when you handle the problem the right way. An example of this can be found in verse 7, where Luke writes, "So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." So two things happened. One is that more time and energy is spent in spreading the word of God, and secondly, more people become disciples of Jesus. So if you handle things the right way, God can do great things through you. So what should you do if this doesn't happen? Well, the first thing you can do is you can decide if the problem is that big of a deal. And if it's not that big of a deal, the best thing for you to do is just pray and keep quiet. Just send your complaints to God. You've already tried to address it, and God can take care of it from there. Secondly, if the problem is dealt with gross immorality or doctrinal heresy, it may be important to pursue church discipline and of the leaders. But if the problem deals with methodology or philosophy of ministry or non-essential theological issues, you might need to think to yourself, am I making a mountain out of a molehill? But if the mountain is truly a mountain and you can't move the mountain, you may want to move yourself. Sometimes things may come to a point where the best thing you can do is to agree to disagree and to amiably leave your church and get involved in another church where you can grow spiritually and minister effectively. So my question for you to end this sermon is, what will you do to become part of the solution? See, usually problems aren't so big that you need to leave the church. And I think that important thing is to have this quality of loyalty to a church. Usually churches are willing and able to deal with the problems that arise in the church. So are you willing to meet with the leaders to talk about the problem? Are you willing to help the leaders choose a qualified task force? Are you willing to pray for the task force? Are you willing to affirm the task force? If not, you're not only neglecting to be part of the solution, you are actually becoming part of the problem. B Because when you're bothered by a problem in the church, you only have two options. You can become part of the problem or part of the solution. Right now, we don't have time to sing a song afterwards, but I want to introduce a couple of people, and then I'll ask Daegun to come up and welcome other new people. So I'd like for all of us to welcome Jack and Eva Cruz. They're right here. And this lovely couple are both involved in the Evangelical Free Church ministry, and basically they're shepherds to shepherds. So Jack basically meets with pastors and cares for them, and Eva meets with the pastors' wives and meets with them. So we're really glad to have them here this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now I'd like to have Daegun come up.